But 1 Samuel 22, and let's read at verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, Abide not in the hold, depart, and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Horeth. Now just keep a little note of your finger in there and turn with me for a moment to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. And this is what we read. It's a prayer of David. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked in my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Amen. We know God will add his blessing to these readings from his word. The last time we were thinking about David, we were looking at 1 Samuel 21 and Psalm 56, where we noted David coping with the problem of fear. It seemed in David's life that everything was spiraling out of control. He didn't know where to turn. He didn't know what to do. He was not only in a state of exile, but he was begging bread, and he was on the run. Fear had overtaken this man's life, and of course, fear is a terrible thing. It's always the enemy of our faith, and yet, as we noted, many great saints of God in a bygone day had to cope with and overcome fear in their lives. For David, his faith in God made all the difference, for he said, What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. And that's the only way that you and I can overcome our fears, by trusting in God, even and especially when we don't know what's going on all around us. We need to stay focused on him. We need to keep trusting him, and we need to keep holding on to him when the storms of life are raging all around us. Today, as we come to God's word afresh, we want to know David in the cave of Adullam. Remember that when we had left David previously, he had left Gath, having pretended to be mad in the presence of Achish the king, and now he comes to the cave of Adullam, a cave located in the western foothills of Judah, about 10 miles from Gath. And when David's family and friends heard that he was there, they came to join him, and very soon a number of people had gathered themselves all around him. Now, when you first read these verses, you wouldn't think that these people were the kind of people you'd want to come to you when you needed encouragement. For listen, what do we read in verses 1 and 2? David therefore departed thence, escaped to the cave of Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Every one that was in distress, every one that was in debt, every one that was discontented, they gathered themselves together unto him. Now, at first reading, you would think, well, that's not the kind of people that you'd want coming around you when the bottom has just dropped out of your world. But we need to understand what is actually written here and what these terms meant to the people of that time. Those in distress, the word literally means to be under pressure or under great stress. Those who were in debt means those who had a number of creditors. Some of the people gathered like David or with David couldn't pay up what they owed. And those who are discontented, the word in the original means those who had been wronged, those who had become bitter of soul. Now all of these people came and attached themselves to David, and the fact is that David was not the only one who was struggling and not the only one who was suffering at the hands of Saul. These people who came to the cave of Adullam, they were all under pressure. They were all suffering the consequences of living under King Saul's reign. But we're concentrating on David here this morning, and that's why I've turned your thoughts to Psalm 142. In 1 Samuel 22, you'll note that Saul was still taking David's life, or trying to take David's life. He heard that Doeg had already seen David in the place called Nob, and so Saul went there, proceeded with Doeg's help to not only kill Ahimelech, but all the priests, and he murdered every single one of them who lived in the town. Now you can imagine how David must have felt at that time. After all, David was the one who had led Saul and Doeg and the people who were chasing him into the city of Nob. But how did he really feel? What was going on in David's mind? What was it that David was coming to terms with in his own life at that particular time when he flees and he goes to dwell in the cave of Adullam? Well, you've read it today in Psalm 142. For here is a man in great distress. Here's a man in a dark cave, and he's all alone, and he had absolutely nobody except God. And I want you to remember that. He had absolutely nobody except God. And it's God who makes all the difference. When you're down and out and you're struggling and you're discouraged and you feel like David did, that there's nowhere else to hide, there's nowhere to run, it's good to remember if you feel alone today and you have nobody, well, it may be nobody except God. And when you've God, that makes all the difference. Let me mention three things quickly from this psalm today that I hope will encourage you if you're making your way through a particularly difficult passage just now. I want you to note a prayer that brought him great cheer. David begins this psalm, as he does many of his psalms, by crying out to his God in prayer. He finds himself in such distress and in such a desperate state, he's compelled to share his burden with the Lord. Now he knows if he's going to rise above his circumstances, if he's going to cope with the situation, then he needs to keep his thoughts centered upon God. Look at his feelings. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me." And David's now in a position where he sees no way out. He has nobody else to turn to but God alone. He has been in the run. He's going nowhere fast. He has reached a critical point in his life. He finds himself at a dead end. He's in a cave. He's penned in like an animal that is soon to be devoured by its attacking predators. And the whole situation is distressing him. You can almost hear it in his voice when you read the psalm again and again. And he says, as he cries out to God, "My spirit was overwhelmed within me." And when David could stick it no longer, he tells God exactly how he feels. He shares his grievances with him. These feelings were building up inside him like a volcano that was soon going to erupt. He couldn't stick it any longer. And he comes to God and he says, "God, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. I just can't take any more." But not just his feelings. Look at his fervor. He said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble."
This is not the cry of a man who gets up one morning and finds himself in a terrible state and turns around and he says to God, Lord, I'm having a difficult day, you look after it. Sometimes that's how we pray. When the chips are down and the going's tough, sometimes we find it difficult to pray, and sometimes we simply come to God and we say, Lord, I'm having a bad day, I'll leave it with you. That's not what David was doing. That's not how he felt. This man genuinely is pouring out his heart to God. This man is overwhelmed by his situation. He's in the midst of a crisis. The only one who can bring about change in this situation, it's God. And he must tell God, and he must tell God everything. Beloved, you and I must learn to do the same. Too often we carry too much by ourselves. Too often we try to hide our feelings and our fears. Too often we're embarrassed to look for help because we want everybody to see this air of super spirituality that somehow surrounds us. Well, if that's the case and we cannot share our burdens with others, we certainly do need to learn to share them with God. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. And David was fervent about this. In the midst of his crisis, the only one who could bring about change was God. And David must tell him how he feels and pour out his complaint to him. His feelings, his fervor, his faith. Do you know what he says? He says, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. What a lovely thought that is. I could take the rest of the morning, if time permitted, just to dwell on this. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. David's soul is dejected within him. It seems as if the bottom has fallen out of his world. And yet he says, God knew all about him. He could see God's hand in everything. He could see God was in control. He could see God had a purpose in this. And despite everything that he was facing at that time, he knew that God knew everything about him. And I wish you could grasp that this morning. Not just you, but me and all of us. For you see, just like those who were in debt and distressed and those who were despondent who came and met with David and all of them together struggling, all of us from time to time have to struggle. The pastor struggles sometimes too. And you struggle sometimes too with your personal difficulties. You struggle with all kinds of situations. Oh, you might not admit it. You might not say it. It might even be you're sitting here this morning and life has just taken a nosedive for you and you see no way out. Beloved, listen, I don't know what you're facing just now, but I do know this, the God in whom you put your trust knows everything, absolutely everything. He knows the setbacks that have knocked us for six this week. He knows the pain we're carrying in our hearts today that others know absolutely nothing about. He knows the struggles that we have to face. He knows the fears about our family and about our work and all those situations. He knows every trial and he sees every tear. There is nothing today about your life and nothing about my life that God doesn't know and that God doesn't fully understand. And even if you feel completely overwhelmed this morning, try as best as you can to take a look up. For if nobody else understands you, God does. If nobody else cares for you, God cares. And if nobody else can reach you in that pit of your discouragement today, God can. God can. When I got my first Bible after my conversion to Christ, a fellow bought it to me, got up the road home the day I was converted on a bicycle. He took me to a shop and bought me a Bible. Not long after I was saved, I came across a little verse. I wrote it in the front leaf of that Bible. It's still there. It's still as precious. It's still as meaningful as it is now 30 years on, and it simply says this, Lord, I cannot see the way. So hour by hour and day by day, let me place my hand in thine, lest I miss a vital sign, a turning to the left or right. Walk with me and be my sight. Is that what you need to pray this morning? You got to the stage where you're almost giving up, where you feel you're crying out in vain, where it seems as if nobody understands and nobody cares. Here's a prayer that brought him great comfort. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. A prayer that brought him great comfort. A position that brought him great concern. David knew that God was in control, but he still had to cope with the circumstances. David knew that ultimately God would intervene, but he had to keep trusting in God until it changed. And look at what he says in verse 4. He says, I looked in my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. How tragic is that? How tragic is that? A man after God's own heart, a man who has already been anointed to be king over God's people, he's on the run begging bread in fear of his life, and here he's looking at his life and he's assessing it, and he says, no man cares for my soul. He's a man who's forsaken and forgotten, not just cast down, but he feels cut off. He couldn't find any friends to help him in his time of need. No matter which way he turned, there was no relief to be found. It made no difference. He looks at his life and he sees where his circumstances have brought him. And he says clearly, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. He's not looking for sympathy. He's just telling it as it is. He's honestly assessing a situation, and a man who had befriended so many, he now hasn't got a friend in the world. What a tragic picture that is. I've met people like that. I can think of one man in the ministry who ministered to others for years and unfortunately had to leave his ministry. Within a matter of weeks, people have stopped phoning him. The people he cared for years had stopped coming to see him, and people didn't want to identify with him lest it be misrepresented, and because of his circumstances, this was his complaint. No man knows me, wants to know me. And no man cares for my soul. Unfortunately, there are many people like that today. They're hurting. They're isolated. They're so alone. There are some in this church who feel like that today. Closed in. They've lost loved ones. They're hurting. They're lonely. And it seems to them that nobody really cares about them, and very few seem to call or phone them. And it's great to be concerned about our community and reach our community and do everything for our community. Don't forget those in this church who gave their lives to the work of God. They need encouragement too. They need help and counsel and comfort. They need encouragement in the latter years of their journey. You know, there are those who sadly have lost their way spiritually. They've fallen. They've been ostracized from their local churches. They're wondering today why nobody cares and why nobody has called. We explain it by saying that they simply fell through the net. Well, I hope the Lord understands that when I'm called to accountability. pastor one day called to visit an elderly member when he had come to the church as a new pastor. He had been given a list of people in the church to visit, and he called to see this elderly lady. She had been hindered from coming out to the meetings because of old age, because her health had deteriorated badly over the years. When the new pastor came, he found her in a totally depressed state and greatly shaken, her faith wobbling. She'd given a lifetime of service to the church. She'd attended all the meetings. She had supported the work financially. But no one ever bothered to come and see her. And to make matters worse, she only lived across the road from the church she'd attended for umpteen years. Beloved, what has happened to us as the people of God today? Have we become selfish or just too busy that somehow we don't ever look upon or care for the needs of others? Have we become so hard of heart that we don't care when people fall? We're not interested when they drift away from the Lord? As far as we're concerned, well, better not get involved in that. Who helps them? Who stands by and tries to help them pick up the pieces? Have we become so negative about everything in church life? We only see what we want to see, and we only meet with those we want to meet with. We only care about those that we really care for who are just like me and my friends. If that's the case, it's not a bit of wonder today that so many people outside want nothing to do with the local church. And more importantly, because of the local church, they want nothing to do with Christ. What a challenge that is. Are there people that you used to know who sat beside you in this church and today they're not here for whatever reason? Do they sit at home feeling no man cares for their soul? Because someday you might be sitting where they are, and I might be too. And I'll be wondering, what happened? What happened? A prayer that brought him great comfort. A position that brought him great concern. A presence that brought him great confidence. David says, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me, no man cared for my soul. And here's what he says next. He goes on to say, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, and bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. Well, David was forsaken, but certainly not forgotten. Forsaken by others, not forgotten by God. He said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. You know, he has reached crisis point in his life. We'll see that in studies to come. Now his faith begins to shine through. And he knew that he could always flee to God and hide in him. He knew that God would be his refuge and strength. He knew that God would not forsake him as others had done, for God would be his stay. One prayed in our prayer meeting before the service this morning these words. He prayed that the Lord Jesus Christ had been forsaken by God the Father so that we would never be forsaken by him. Isn't that wonderful? David felt very much alone, but he wasn't alone because God was with him. And it was the presence of God that made all the difference. Someone has said that man has many friends and prosperity, but only one in adversity.
Beloved, today remember when the chips are down. And when the bottom seems to have fallen out of your world, you and I need to remember that God is still our refuge and strength. He is still a present help in every time of trouble. He still embraces us in His love because we're loved with everlasting love. He still extends to us the sufficiency of His grace with the promise, "My grace is sufficient for you." And He's still with us no matter what. No matter what. Because it's God who is the one that keeps us from fainting. And He's the one who keeps us from falling. And when it seems that no one cares for our souls, God cares. God cares. Can I ask you this morning in closing to try to encourage your heart and lift your spirits? Are you in your own cave today? Like David, perhaps wondering, well, where do I go from here? Where do I turn? What do I do? Well, the first thing you need to do is tell God how you feel. Lean on Him with all your strength. Cast your burden on Him and let Him bear it for you. And look up and keep trusting, even when it seems that no man cares for your soul. I can assure you God cares more than you and I will ever understand. The writer says, "Not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but by steep and rugged pathways would we strive to climb to Thee. Be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our guide, through endeavor, failure, danger. Father, be Thou at my side. Be Thou at my side." Can I say to your heart today that that's where He always will be? Even if it seems that no man cares for your soul. God cares. And He'll always care. And you and I need to lean hard on Him.